Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show. We have a lot of things going on in our country today, and one of those is violence. We're going to be talking about that today on this show. Sit back and relax and enjoy the conversation. One Mic, One Voice show is being broadcast by Blacken Studios. For more information on Blacken Studios, go to their Facebook page. Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscience, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and debated. My name is Michael Eric Owens. I'm your co-host, and I'm along with my co-host.
The other co-host, DT.
DT. Last show, Reflections.
Oh, man. So there were a lot of iconic moments that happened within that show last time. But one thing I remember being so starstruck.
You looked a little.
Man, but me and this one more making eye contact.
Infatuation.
And I could not believe that this was happening to me in this moment right now.
Thelma from Good Times.
And I got the fumbling over my words. I couldn't even, completely process my thought in a way that made sense.
I thought I had to come over and help you out.
You should have, man. I needed some help. I needed a tag at that point. Like, Mike, get me out of here.
You know what? I was going to throw up some cue cards for you. Right. So you could just have some one-liners.
I mean, it was a beautiful experience, man. I'm really gracious that she was able to stop by and share that time with us.
Yeah, and one thing in going back and kind of listening to our shows, and we do that, folks. We go back and we listen and we learn not just from some of the things that is being discussed, but specifically from our guests. And she was just so gracious. And just so, I think, articulate, and where she's come from and where she's at, and I'm just looking forward to the next time where we can get back together and share. And
she's coming back.
And she looked amazing.
At even 58?
No, I think she was 61.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. Amazing. Wow. Whatever she's doing, I need to do because she is just. Man, she was like just an older Thelma, man.
Like
she just grew up a little bit.
Right.
And so the NFL guys here and Cola was here with his music. We just had a really, really great time. And if you haven't listened to that particular show, our special celebrity show that is uploaded now, I'm going to encourage you to go there, listen to it. You're going to learn so much about it, learn so much about her life. And I think it's just a really enjoyable show.
It is. I wish she could have talked more about, because on the radio show, she did the open mic that morning. Mm-hmm. They talked about how Good Times really did shed light on a lot of different social issues that were happening in the culture at that point in time and how big of an impact Good Times was in helping people understand some of that stuff and get through it, and it was awesome. But she didn't get to talk much about that here.
Yeah, I mean, it did, right?
From your experience, do you remember anything specifically about that time frame that, Good Times and other shows like it?
Well, I mean, if you think about John Amos, the dad, and how he struggled sometimes working two jobs to provide for his family. Mm-hmm. So it really showed that social aspect of living in poverty and having, but still he had such a sense of pride and dignity. And so that kind of shaped a lot for young black men to be able to see. Not, we saw the Huxtable, right? We saw the doctor and the lawyer doing so great and living in the nice house, which most folks couldn't identify with. But here was a family that you could identify with. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were living in the projects, right? And you could say food was on the table, and just the interplay between the wife and the dad and how they would argue sometime and make up sometimes. I mean, it was very dear to the personal experience of a lot of black people growing up in inner city.
Right.
And then beyond that, I think some of those other social issues that they dealt with. I mean, it was, some shows that dealt with broken relationships and crime and all of those other things that I think spoke from a black perspective that had not been heard on TV before. So just an awesome, you know, if you can catch a rerun of Good Times, yeah. I mean, it is fun.
It is,
you know, but also there are some serious moments in there. And what I wanted to kind of talk to her about, and we didn't get that opportunity, was why John Amos left the show. And, you know, he was upset because JJ's character was just such a buffoon. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, this dynamite, yeah. You know, and JJ didn't have a job. And so he wanted to have more serious dialogue. He did not want to have this, you know, goofy character of that lacks substance. Now, again, I'm not criticizing Mr. Walker, Brother Walker, I'm not criticizing him, but I'm saying that the character was much more stereotypical mm-hmm. of how people viewed mm-hmm. black males, and he just didn't want that, and he spoke out against that, so they end up just writing him out the show is what happened.
If you hear people talk about TV specifically as far as ratings go and things like that to get people drawn to the entertainment behind it, you find that there are lots of people who agree that, you know, like, yes, we need a space for intellectual conversation. We need a space for dialogue that is meaningful, that shows families being brought together, that shows all these different positive aspects of family life. But that may not be as entertaining as, you know, what you get from Love and Hip Hop. You know, these other shows that portray black life as something totally different. No, this doesn't speak to the whole idea of who black people are, you know, but it is a side that, you know, an audience of people would like to see.
And I mean, you make a great point. People don't want to think.
True enough.
I mean, at the end of the day, you come into your house, you may have dealt with all types of issues. You just want to be, you want to dumb down and be entertained. Mm-hmm. I mean, even some of the criticism that we've received. I mean, first of all, the criticism has been very low. The majority of people, 95% of the people, love the show and are listening to the show. But that small, minute percent of people that have criticized is because it's too deep. And I come in the evening, and all I want to do is hear you guys laugh and joke. Well, I'm cool with laughing and joking, man, because I think we have that personality and we have that chemistry. But also, there's some serious things going on in our country that we created this show to talk about. And so the show is about, you know, giving voice to many issues in our country. Number one, that black men have not been able to talk to from our vantage point. But number two, to give voice to others that don't have a platform to talk about these things. And so, yeah, I'm cool. I just want to dumb down some time, too. Get it. You know, just let me just sit back and, you know, and watch Fallen Skies or something. You know, let me just sit back, you know what I'm saying, and watch something like that and not think about it. But the world keeps spinning, and we have to be engaged in it. And we have to, just like anything, right, with working out, you gotta work your muscles. Yeah. And your brain is a muscle. Mm-hmm. And if you don't work it intellectually, then all of a sudden, guess what? I mean, you're not critically analyzing what's going on in this planet. You're just being like pushed aside or tossed aside to and fro by anybody, Trump, anybody that wants to tell you anything and you want to believe it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I get it, but we weren't created for that. You need to get engaged, and that's why we're here, to engage you. And you know what? I'm the comedic of the family, man. I'm always trying to joke and trip and do all of that. So I'm with that. But also, there's a side of me that says we need to stay engaged. We need to be talking about these issues. And that's a great segue into what we're talking about today. And man, just this violent society we live in.
There's lots of different things going on in the news right now. People getting murdered, people getting killed, people getting hung, people getting their heads cut off. Man, I know that we're talking about this violence in the society, but there are people who do not go outside. Agoraphobia is a fear of, you know, the outside, you know, being seen or whatever. And it's simply from the fear of what the hell other people are doing outside of their house. I cannot go outside because the people that are outside are scary. The people outside are crazy. The people outside do not have the same interest for my life that I do. And so why go out there and put myself at risk of being harmed, of being hurt, of being killed, when I can just stay in the house and deal with it here? And, you know, that's even a false, because we know that even in your house, you're not safe.
Even in your house, you are not safe. They break in and kill you while you're watching TV. You know, so, yeah, we have some dangerous people in our society. It has nothing to do with race, has nothing to do with gender, has nothing to do with socioeconomic status. We have some dangerous DT people in our society. Just look here for, listen here for a minute. The shooting in South Carolina, right? Where the guy comes in, and I don't even want to give value to his name. The guy comes in, sits in this church, okay, why this prayer service is going on, and then decides just to flip the script and say, you know what, boom, everybody down. That's just crazy. That's psychotic. Mm. The taking of someone's life, and then we see the pose with the rebel flag and all these other things. And we talked about that. The movie theater shootings that's going on. Mm. You're not safe in the theater, man. I just want to go see a movie, you know.
And that was a big thing, especially, you know, for us growing up, man. That's all we done. We didn't have a car. We just, hey, mom, grandma, drop us off at the movies. We
safe having a good place, time, right?
Right, where we thought we were safe, you know, but...
And now you got people just standing up and just shooting people in the movie theater. Man,
You ever seen those signs, you know, where it's like a yellow, it's like a safe place sign there on the libraries, places like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fire station, yeah. Police station, yeah. Places where, you know, you're supposed to feel
safe.
Now, I wonder now they're going to go back and add some different criteria that actually approves a place to be a safe place. Because when you think about it, there has to be a lot more components in place to solidify why this place is such a safe place.
Yeah, the answer
what,
is
what
why.
Content, in what context do you mean safe?
Well, you know, I mean, has violence never occurred there? Maybe it's safe then. Maybe it's a non-political place. I don't know. I would be curious to know what's the definition, like you say,
place.
Of a safe place. And I would say that no place is safe. Like you said, in your home, we've known people that have kicked in other people's doors. We've heard about them, why they were there.
And we watched Straight Outta Compton and brought the battering ram there.
They had drugs in the house.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they had illegal activity, so right. I think it was good. But they tore like the whole entire
front of the house
frame
off,
man. I think that was wrong, man. How can you resell that?
You can't.
You can't, man. You can't. So, no,
and
that was
it cost
wrong.
The city drugs. Money to rebuild it. So, yeah. It's like, again, so many little contradictions.
Yeah.
Within the
again,
society.
You know, public service announcement. Don't do
Don't
drugs.
Do drugs.
Or you might lose your house, right? Right. But then you have those reporters just in Virginia that were, oh, man. This is a whole nother level of sickness and pathology, right? When you film it and put it on Facebook,
man.
I mean, that is just you can't say a person's crazy. I mean, saying that
it's like
is
even
you
the
know
crimes are keeping up with the times, right? Like social.
Criminals are becoming like, you know, like tech criminals now. You know, I'm going to put it on YouTube and Facebook at the same time. Instagram. You know, he hitting all the social media spots. It is ridiculous and it is crazy. I just, when I heard that, I'm like, this dude. And he was like doing a blow-by-blow version, man. Mm. Like, I'm about to do this. And then he put it on. And I'm just like, who does that?
Man.
I mean, crazy. I mean, that's a Greek word called maniakos. It means maniac. You know, this guy's beyond crazy. Yeah, it's like he's a maniac, man. It's like
this would be definition of monster when we
exactly.
Use those type of words on people.
Yeah, yeah. Innocent people.
But you have got to be careful about the way you deal with people, man. Because like we're seeing in this situation and lots of other ones, that the relationship was severed somewhere. At some point in time, this man felt inferior, felt like he was hopeless, felt like he was worthless, blah, 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 and went on to himself inside his mind to go and act on that anger and kill these people. So we got to be careful the way that we're dealing with each other.
Well, you bring up a very interesting point that companies, managers, supervisors, CEOs, executive directors, HR folks need to understand that you cannot take the livelihood of someone. Not everyone is going to be like this, but some people will make you pay. Mm-hmm. How you with treat them on the job. Now, I done been some places. I'm just going to keep it real, where I was treated like less than zero. Now, if I didn't have the right mindset, I'd come back and shoot up the whole place, mm-hmm. okay? Because you treated me like I was nothing, like I was less than anything. You didn't listen to me. You didn't care about me. You didn't include me. You took stabs at me. I've been at jobs where people used to take racial stabs at me. Been there, done that, okay? So, yeah, does it happen in the workplace? But when you do it to the wrong person, unstable people, they will come back. What a guy in Moore, the guy in Moore that came yeah. back to that and cut the lady's head off. You know, and I'm not, listen, folks, listen, no one deserves to be murdered. I don't care where, on the job. No, nobody deserves that. However, there is a cost to pay when you're dealing with crazy people. And they're sitting at home and they're thinking about the things you've done to them and their income is gone and they feel like a failure. You don't know at what point that person is in their life.
Right.
That person could already be at the breaking point. And I'm not saying that his firing wasn't justified. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that when you pull the plug on somebody, understand it might not be over, because violence is prevalent in our society and people that hurt. I mean, this guy he killed his own self.
Hurt people hurt people.
Exactly. So why wouldn't he kill somebody when he killed his own self? I mean, he had no value, for his own life. And so we have to do better at treating people. And I'm not saying this is a case, because I can hear the critics out there, you know, saying, you know, they were not to blame. They were not to blame. Nobody deserves to be treated like that. Nobody deserves for that to be their end game, to be taken out like that. That does not negate the fact that we need to treat people with dignity and respect on our jobs, in our lives, because that stuff can come back with horrible consequences. The man filed an EEOC mm-hmm, complaint. Mm-hmm. It didn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. They dismissed it. But he had a grievance, though. Mm-hmm. He had so a grievance.
He tried to maybe take a step for himself to say, okay, let's see if they can handle this, because what's on my mind may not be the best for everybody.
I've been there, man. I've been there. I've been on the verge of filing one, and I was like, eh, I'm just going to move on. I'm not going to put myself through this process. But it was injustice. It was discrimination. It was racist. It was injustice. And even when I saw an attorney, she was like, you can sue the blank blank out of them, is what she told me. And I was like, nah, I don't want that associated with me. So I'm just going to move on. But see, I'm not saying I'm sane, DT. You know, I guess I might be a little bit, you know, more sane than this crazy man that did what he did. But you take the wrong person.
Yeah, when you get pushed, though, it could be any of us, you know. And that's the danger, because we don't know some of us don't know our limits, you know, our mental limits, our physical limits.
That's right.
And that makes it a lot more complicated with trying to decide what is it going to take for this person to, you know.
Snap.
Exactly. And because we can't be so, you know, decisive about things like that, we have to be sensitive to the fact that all of us are coming with something different every day. We're all going through something different every day. We're all experiencing something different every day. And we have to be cognizant of the fact that other people in your life that you come into contact with on a daily basis are in the same struggle as you.
Man, that is so, so true. Same struggle. I know people look at you and say, you know, man, DT ain't got no problems, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at him, man. He's successful. He educated. He this, he that.
He's handsome.
Oh, yeah, the brother's smooth now, okay? They look at you and say, he ain't got no problems. But you and I both know, like you just said, man, so eloquently, we all have struggles. We all have difficulties. I mean, what if we could just have a meter? I wish I could just like this meter, man, that you could look at me and you see it's in the red zone.
Stay back.
Exactly. Today it's in the red, no. Man. I'm almost,
you know, like the government gives us the state of emergency.
Exactly.
You know, like, okay, right. We're in the yellow right now. It's right. Okay, but don't take it there.
That's right. Exactly, man. So that you know that I'm just about to pop on you, and don't want to pop. You know what I mean? Want to be nonviolent.
We're all,
man.
Balloons.
Hey,
we're all balloons. Man. Every little infraction, that's a little bit of air added. Every little bit of ticking off, that's a little air added.
Well, I can tell you what, man. And this is a little deviation, but man, I have been so impressed by the president's demeanor and calm when he's attacked, when he's had cartoons of himself looking like a monkey. I mean, like he's with a spear in his hand. And this dude has been just cool, calm, and collected. And I'm like, I don't know how you do it,
man.
Because I'm telling you about me, I would have went off a couple times. They said, here come the, man, hold on, here come the president, he about to trip. I can see the look on his face.
Mike, how you feeling right now? You in the yellow, you in the red, or you,
man, nah, I'm way down, man. Okay. I'm good.
We might have to just start doing like a kind of like a check-in before we get started for the day. Just kind of see what the see intensity what the level is.
Right. Right.
Like, all right, Mike, how we feeling today?
I'm feeling good.
All right. Me too.
I'm feeling,
man.
Good. Yeah, yeah. The other day, though, you came in here, the meter was pretty high the other day.
For me?
Yeah, I don't think it was high. Yeah, yeah. Look, yeah, yeah.
Was it?
Look at Richard said, yeah. It was a little high. Me and Richard,
man,
were looking at each other like.
I have a hard time not carrying the emotion of everything that I go through.
You had a rough
especially
day.
Especially with. You know, dealing with the students and dealing with the parents, just trying to make sure everybody functions. Yeah. It's a lot to deal with, but I do have an outlet, you know. So,
But you focus out of it. You know, you worked out of it because me and Richard, we were looking at each other like, brother, all right or something. Get him some water, so you know, say get him some grapes.
Yeah, I probably hadn't eaten lunch yet. The glucose wasn't.
It was all. And then the sheriff that was shot in Texas, the guy just walked up to him and assassinated him. Wow. Yeah.
Walked up to him at the gas station. Execution style. Blasted him.
You know, wow. I mean, how do you make sense of that? I mean, that, you know, I know we're talking about it, and I'm trying to wrap my head around that happened to this father, this husband, you know, this public servant. I'm trying to wrap my head around it, but I can't get around it, man. It seems like, yeah, I hear it happen, but I can't internalize it as if it happened. You know, it just seems so wrong.
I mean, is it any different, though, from the other wrong things that we hear about, you know? To me, man, I've honestly kind of lowered my wow factor, you know, because there are lots of things that are happening that we don't even hear about that are far more gruesome, far more worse, far more mind-boggling than we can ever, you know, imagine or to begin to try and understand. And so it's kind of trying to accept the things that you know are going to be just downright disgusting, about the world and where we live. But it's like, you know, kind of trying to find the inner peace, trying to find out, you know, like Stacy told us, you know, you got to protect your mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, the things that you let inside are all plaguing on you all the time. You know, it's just a collection, a lodge of all these different things and ideas. So I try to protect my mind in a way that allows me to understand that there's a lot of crazy stuff out there happening, but also to understand that I have a mission, I have a purpose, and I have to keep on going with what I got going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to keep it moving forward, regardless of the chaos that happens around us every day. I mean, I was quite taken back by this idea of the Black Lives Matter movement being blamed for this particular act. And what the one, I guess he was the chief or the sheriff or whatever he was saying that he felt like the rhetoric, you know, could be the impotence for someone doing that. Now it comes to find out this guy had assaulted someone in a homeless shelter, and he was found mentally incompetent to stand trial. Mm. Now to associate a movement, the act of freedom of speech and expression, what people do with that is their responsibility. I have the right to say what is on my mind. It's called free speech. It's protected speech. I can do that.
And the government wrote that.
Thank you. And so if you take what I say and you go out there and you shoot up a bunch of people, well, you might say, was it right for me to say that? Well, right and wrong has nothing to do with free speech. Free speech is free speech. You can't make a moral value on speech. If you don't like it, you don't listen. You turn it off. You don't like the One Mic, One Voice show. You don't download the podcast, but we hope you do because we really like when you listen, right? Yeah. But you can't make that correlation between what the Black Lives Matter movement, in the second half of our show, we're going to break down the Black Lives Matter movement. But you can't make that association and say this is the motivation for this guy doing what he did, especially when we know now the guy is probably mentally insane.
Right. And I think that a lot of people have not still considering how important it is for us, just like I said a minute ago, to protect our minds, whether that be means of going out and getting the professional help you may need, or it being, you know, this guy who has not taken an advantage of getting his mental illness needs met. It's obvious that somebody had documented him as having an issue and nobody took it seriously enough. And now look how many years later, or however long that was determined, he's done this now. And now it's beyond the point of, you know, yeah, he may have mental illness. No, we know for sure this cat is out of his mind, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you can make an association, which is a wrong association to make, when Congresswoman Gaffney Gifford got shot, and everybody blamed the rhetoric coming out of the Tea Party, and come to find out it had nothing to do with that. Do I agree with the Tea Party and their slogan, take our country back? I'm like, who are you going to take it back from? I'm confused about that. And we want to go back to the good old days. So when was that? Was that slavery, Jim Crow, mass incarceration? I'm just wondering, when was the good old days? Yeah. Anyway, so that's a whole nother show in itself. Yeah, but I don't agree with that. But they have the right to say that, though. And I will never infringe upon their right to speak their minds and to have self-expression. Don't agree with it, but you know what? You're an American. You have every right to say that, and that speech should be protected. So you can't make those correlations. And I think it's easier. It's easier to defame Black movements simply because they are by Black people. Okay, the
and now,
stigma.
Like this individual took upon himself to commit this act, not in any direct relation to the Black Lives Matter movement, being guilty by association. And we've been talking about that since we were kids. Your mom would tell you, hey, don't hang out with them boys. They're going to get you in trouble.
And you, again, it goes back to what we've been talking about, this Black group identity. Dylann Roof. Okay, I said I wasn't going to mention his name, but I mentioned his name, and I have to do it for analytical purposes. Dylann Roof was the one that shot those people in the church in South Carolina, okay? Nobody would say that all white people are to blame for that, okay?
Right.
Okay, but a black person shoots somebody. Now you look at all black people. Now you bring up black on black crime. Now you bring up why you got all these single mothers. I mean, it's just all this junk thrown on simply because of this crazy individual did a crazy act. It's a crazy person. He's crazy. He happens to be black, but he's crazy. Has nothing to do with black people. Has nothing to do with the black community. Has nothing to do with the Black Lives Movement. Has everything to do with he is crazy, and he should be held responsible for his act. Not you don't hijack the black community for that. And it sickens me to hear people make that assertion. And then we had this police officer just yesterday, right, in Illinois. And I think it was the Fox Lake area or something like that, that's situated between Chicago and Milwaukee. Got shot. I think he stole the guys, took the officer's gun, and by two white guys and one black guy. You know, again, tragic for the family. Two things I'll say to that, DT. Number one, police officers got to understand, folks, you know what I thought about when I was growing up, and this might offend some people, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's one mic, one voice, right? There was three kind of dominant positions that you really respected. One was the clergy. Man, you saw the pastor coming, you know, you turned down the music. You know what I mean? You was like, you straightened up. You didn't, you know. Your teacher in the classroom, oh, you respected your teacher. I mean, she said this. It was, you know, that was a gospel truth, right? And police officers, man. I mean, you saw somebody in a uniform, you were like, oh, that's a cop, man. That's all change, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, there's some preachers out there that are still well-respected, but the majority of them, no, they don't. It's been tainted, right? We got too many pastors that are sleeping with women, and now they have all this wealth, you know, Cleflo Dollar on a $40 million jet. So that credibility is gone. Teachers... Parents have ruined that for teachers because now they're taking up for their kids, and they've devalued the authority of teachers. And police officers, we've seen too many people lose their lives at the hands of crooked cops. And so that respect is not there. So guess what? When you're pulling people over, you got some people out there are simply saying, bring it.
Mm-hmm. They're fed up, man.
I'm going to be honest. And I think our law enforcement have to understand these people, I'm still going to give you respect. I am. You know, it's a tough job. I don't think you get paid enough for what you're trying to do. It's a tough job. I couldn't do it. I'm going to give you respect, regardless of whether I think you're right or wrong, and I've already proven that because you've been, like, wrong 90% of the time. You didn't pull me over, but that's a whole nother point, right? Just being honest, right? But I'm going to give you respect. There's some people out here that they're just not going to do that. They're coming. They want a confrontation with you. And I think this, and the reason why I bring this up, DT, is because there were three of them. Although he called it in, he went after them. And I'm going to say that's just not, to me, that's not a good situation for a police officer to be found going after three people. As crazy as people are nowadays.
Man, that's the perception of power, though. You know, what you think your influence should be able to do versus what it really does. Man. And so for me, as one person, even going after three teenage kids, you know, well, elementary school kids, I'm going to need some backups. You know, I'm in a school like
357, 12, 413. I need backup over here. DT, I think his name is DT. He's coming after me.
Please come help me. But, yeah, man, I think, like you said, I think the value of power maybe played an influence in his decision and what he thought he could be able to do. But, I mean, it just wasn't a smart move.
Does the Black Lives Matter movement matter, folks? What is it all about? How does this movement impact our society? In the second half of our show, we're going to be talking about that. I'm sure we're going to deviate. But listen, please don't touch that. Is it a dial? It's not a dial, is it?
Don't touch nothing.
Yeah, just leave it alone. Enjoy DT's voice. One mic, one voice. We'll be right back.
Be sure to like us on our Facebook page, One Mic, One Voice Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, @1Mic_1Voice. And be sure to visit our website to get all of our content at onemiconevoice.com. Reach out to us on the email, dt@onemiconevoice.com or Michael Eric Owens @onemiconevoice.com.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. Now, I want to emphasize, we are going live with phone-in calls on September 23rd at 1 p.m. Mark your calendar, September 23rd at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, folks. Central Standard Time. We've been putting it out on Facebook. We will continue to put on Facebook, but I guess you need the number. DT, they need the number, right?
The number,
the number is 405-300-8344. Again, write it down, 405-300-8344. September 23rd, we are going live.
We'll also be posting that number on our website, too. So as you get closer to time, you could be ready to go.
Absolutely. And we want to take a listen to something that has been trending on Facebook. DT, you want to talk a little bit about that?
I had a friend of mine put this video up on his Facebook page, and I was just kind of, you know, what is this? But he's retired or something, but was, you know, putting this video together, just addressing the whole shooting that we just talked about. And I can't really do him justice, so just let it rip, let it play.
Nathan Nenner from Hemp Hill, Texas. If you don't like cussing, go ahead and cut this video off now or get your kids out of the room because I'm very pissed off. I give you time to do that for just a minute. Okay, I want to talk to you about what happened in Harris County where this black thug went up and just executed a deputy because he was a white deputy, because he was a law enforcement officer. It's going to end, and it's going to end with that. That's not going to happen anymore. That's the end of it. Y'all have pushed us to the limit, and we ain't going to take it no more. They stuff that us citizens can do, and we're fixing to do them, starting now. That black guy, he pulled the trigger on that cop, but he really ain't the one that actually killed the cop. The one that killed him was these Black Panthers and all these black thugs that comes to your town and marches and hollers, oink, oink, bang, bang, and all that retarded shit. You know, they're the ones that's responsible for it. Them and people like Farrakhan wanting 10,000 volunteers to track people down, cops and all that, and kill them. Starting now, we holding these people responsible. Like I said, it stops now. Don't ever let a Black Panther or any black group come to your town and march in that town and get done and be able to get in their vehicle and leave. That's over with. And law enforcement, I'm talking to you now. When we get there and we're going to be there, step aside. Do not try to stop us, because our fight is not with you. It's for you. Now, I'm going to tell you old people, grandmas, grandpas, kids, all of you can get in on this. When there's a Black Panther group going to head to a town, and they're going to rally and holler, kill cops, kill cops. Law enforcement, you put it out and you let people know they're coming. And all you older people that wants to get involved, I got something for you. This is called a slingshot. You go to Walmart and you get it. Okay, when these Black Panthers come to your town, to start with, they have to drive a vehicle. Well, that's where you start at. You disable them vehicles. You pepper their with rocks. You bust the windshields out, you stop them vehicles from running. When them Panthers has to walk and run out of town, they will not come back to your town. You people do that. Me, I will be there. If I have to be there by myself, I will, but I don't think I have to. All you guys like me that's able to stand up and fight, we going to be there. Long as the law enforcement lets us know they're coming. And we're going to push them Panthers out of town. Never again will they stand in a street in Texas.
Wow. Interesting.
You just heard the smooth sounds of Nathan Ehner.
You know, man. Just a few observations. And we want to go back. But notice here, when we talked about one black person's act being inferred onto the group, notice in his own words, this is through the eyes of the racist. Mm-hmm. This is through the eyes of someone that feels as if they're in a position to judge or articulate the humanity of others. So this gentleman says here that it's not really this black guy, it's the Black Panthers. He called them thugs. And he went on to identify the Nation of Islam as being the perpetrators in this. How ridiculous is that? That's crazy. Now, he's allowed to say it, but it's crazy speech.
And it's just like we just talked about the Roth situation and what he done at the church in South Carolina. He was given an opportunity to be identified as an individual. Now, because this black man, and it's just that was all the indication he had given that he was black, it automatically labeled him as a thug, as a Black Panther. And that just shows more of the divide of us not being able to own our own individual actions and be perceived as individuals, and this being something that is systematic or something that is widespread amongst blacks or the Black Panther Party or the Nation of Islam or whatever the case may be.
And this is what we need to understand. People that don't like black people or minority people will take any instance to demonize the entire race. It's even about immigration. You know, it's not just about what these people have done, these people that are in our country illegally. They're not. It's about all immigrants. We have a conversation about how all of them, you know, Trump referred to them as rapists and so forth, criminals,
it's killers. Yeah,
you see, it's inferred to the group. But Dylan Ruth, again, for analytical purposes, we didn't say all white people are killers. All white people taunt the rebel flag. All white people hate black people. No, that never came into the national conversation. But folks, listen, this guy that's taunting these views, he's not alone. Now, the easy thing is just to dismiss this as crazy speech. But this guy goes on to say that it is right to take rights away from citizens of this country. He goes and says, well, if they don't let them march. So the right to assemble is a right in the Constitution. So what this guy is saying is no, you don't let them assemble, and if they assemble, you attack them.
Exactly. You throw rocks at them, get a slingshot, you hit them upside the head with something.
But again, it's of no association whatsoever. What we're trying to do is critically analyze his statements. Now, I understand his anger. I get that. I'm angry, too, at the loss of life that's going around in our country today. It sickens me. But I'm not going to turn around and blame a group for what has happened. And there are, for instance, there were the other day, there was two white guys and a black guy. So, yeah, I'm going to say, what? How do I divide that up percentage-wise? Where does my hate go percentage-wise, DT? I
don't know. 33%?
Yeah. You know, I don't, again, I mean, we can't, people are responsible for their own actions. It's not based upon your race, your background, your socioeconomic status, your culture. It's based upon you. You pay a penalty or you are rewarded based upon your own action. Let's roll this guy.
Got Nathan coming in with some more smooth jams.
Or anywhere else and holler, kill cops, kill cops. Them son of a, their days are over with. And I'm not just talking today. I'm telling you, I'm going to be there. And all you other people want to get involved, get that damn slingshot. Nobody's ever went to jail for a slingshot. Y'all get that slingshot, get you some damn rocks, and when they come out in that street, y'all go, we give you a few minutes to pepper their ass. You light them up like they got mumps and measles when they go home with all the bumps and knots all over their asses. They won't come back. And what's left of them, myself and some other people, will take care of that. Because we have had enough. There won't be another killing in Texas. I can promise you that. It might be a killing, but it won't be what you think. There won't be no more cops executed in the state of Texas. And like I said, you law enforcement officers, step the aside. Do not get in front of me. Do not try to stop any of us. Because we're doing this for you and for ourselves. What happened, happened to the law enforcement, and it also happened to us. And we're not going to take it anymore. We're done with it. It ends. It ends now, and it ends in the state of Texas, you sons of b****. You Black Panthers and you thugs, you Black Lives Matter b****, you bunch of freaking retards, you better run and you better hide. Because we're looking at videos, we're pulling names and addresses, and we're going to hunt you sons of b**** down. Because we're pissed off, and ain't nobody going to stop us now, you dirty b**** Last freaking thing some of you sons of b**** are here is that noise right there when we come in your goddamn house. Don't ever threaten another cop in Texas. Don't ever threaten another white person. And you Black b**** you got Panthers and shit. Try to come to another town and try to march. See what happens to you, because I ain't playing. And I'll tell you something else. I got a bunch of mail from Hempstead, Texas, where you want to rename a street, Sandra Bland Street. You know, that ain't happening. You people in Hempstead, don't let them put name your street after a freaking thug. We're not going to stoop that low. Sandra Bland had a rap sheet a mile long. She was full of dope. Disrespectful embarrassment to her, to Hempstead, Texas, and hung her damn self. Well, let me tell you something. A thug's life don't matter. We don't give a shit about you damn thugs. A Black life, a white life, police life, a rebel life, a redneck life, all our lives matter. Every life except for a freaking thug. Your life don't matter. And you sons of bitches, you fixing to find out how it don't matter. Because you done pissed us off, you bunch of bastards.
Wow, DT.
Man, he could have.
You know, I give him an A for effort.
Man, I understand the frustration, man. And what I'm hearing is two sides. I'm hearing two things. One is him expressing his anger for what happened. You know, being able to, you know, feel that fury, want to do something about it, want to. Some change to be brought about and by force in his particular case. You know, we talked, and I'm sorry, we got to keep saying this cat's name, Dylan Roth.
I think it's Roof.
Roof, Roth. When that situation happened, Blacks were outraged. Blacks were upset. Blacks found a way to assemble in a peaceful way, peacefully protest against the things that they felt were wrong, the things that they felt were an injustice, and try and go about it in a peaceful way. But also on the same, in the same sense, we could have took that same aggressive, that same hostile attitude that this guy's taking in this different situation, you know, about this officer. And it's like, who has the authority to act, you know? Do Blacks not have authority to assemble, to peacefully protest? The Ku Klux Klan will get together and show up with their rifles and their guns and everything else and preach more hostility into the situations. And blacks don't take that same, you know, position. So I'm kind of in a limbo about this right now. I'm really confused about who has the rights right now to.
Well, and you're so correct. I mean, what we're talking about here is this idea of white privilege. I mean, that's really what we're talking about here, right? Mm-hmm. This idea that when he talks about, you know, who should be given the right to do these things or not do these things, it's code word for white people have the right to mm-hmm. do that. I mean, because he says down here in the end, he says there's never going to be another cop being killed. But then I think about this idea of, so is he talking about black cops?
No, he said a white person.
That's what I'm saying. See, his following statement was, you're not going to see another white person killed.
Mm-hmm.
And so his content is for black people, okay, minority people. Because he didn't go, I can assume that it's for all minority people, but the target was definitely black people. And so what's interesting.
Was he not also personifying what a thug by definition would be?
Come on. I mean, dictionary, right?
Yeah,
in his language. I mean, in his hatred. You know, saying that certain particular lives matter and other lives don't. Mm-hmm. All life matters. I mean, we can't parse out, brother, this idea of the value of life and a horrible act.
Mm-hmm.
A horrible act needs to be dealt with according to the laws. Doesn't mean that life is not valued. You know, when people argue, well, you know, you kill, you should be killed, and this, that, and the other thing. Well, I understand that. But if we value life, life is separate from any type of wrongdoing, okay? Because it is life,
mm-hmm.
okay? It is breathing. It is living. That should be valued. So, if you are, quote unquote, I use his phrase, a thug, does that mean then your life means nothing? Mm. I mean, how many people have turned their lives around?
Change? I was just going to say that.
You know, how many people have others have not given up on? They got into a program, they got a mentor, they got an education, and they're doing remarkable things in our world. But maybe their life didn't matter when there was a thug. You know, if they died then, but now if they die now, we all weep because, oh, they're so great, right? No, I think their life mattered all along. It's our perception of who this person is. Now, I'm not saying that this guy that created this, that did this horrible act, has redeemable qualities. It's not what I'm saying. I think the argument here really is mental illness. Mm-hmm. It's not about the Black Lives Matter movement. It's not about the Black Panthers. I'm like, how do Black Panthers get in there, man? I'm like, dude, are you kidding me, man? The Black Panthers.
Whatever.
Oh, my God, man. When was the last time, man, you seen the Black Panthers marching somewhere? I mean,
I've never seen a Black Panther.
You know, I know period. We still got Black Panther brothers out there, man. But I mean, when was the last time you actually seen them assemble and march? And I can't remember the last time. So that's a huge leap to say that the Black Panthers are in charge. And didn't that man pull the trigger himself?
God, I just thought of something. But think about how he was describing his whole situation, right? And then the labels he given the people he thought was associated with it. How many other people are thinking like him? Like you said earlier, this cat is not alone in this way that he's you know, portraying this message or whatever. But how many other people see another group of black people or another group of minority people and automatically give them, you know, this outdated label that, you know, we haven't even used for years, or these people haven't got together in years and done anything, you know, whether it be marching on the streets or protesting, whatever the case may be. But see a group of black people, it could be a black, these kids could be going anywhere on a field trip or something. You just see these black kids
Bloods. In
a
group.
It's like, look at all those little thug blood Crips. Panthers over there. God.
Oh, man. Yeah, almost, Richard almost had to bleep you on that one. You know, it's crazy, right? And some people will take this man and run with it and make this just pseudo association, this juxtaposition between these groups and what this person with his mental illness has committed, and take it and begin to talk to others about it, man. The other day, DT, I was thinking, you know how we've had some acts of people that wanted to start a racial war, a race war. And we know this goes back to even Manson. What Manson was trying to do is start a race war. And, you know, for the first time, it occurred to me that that's possible, man. Mm. I mean, we have these people, these independent actors out here that are doing horrific acts on both sides of the of the spectrum. And we have an unstable citizenry or citizenry that I think are just waiting to boil over in all of these communities. That I thought to myself, I used to think, yeah, that's impossible. That never happened. But now I'm thinking, you know what?
It's possible.
It's possible. And we have to. And I'm not saying tone down the rhetoric, because I'm the last person to tell you what you need to say and not say. I prefer for it to add to the conversation, to bring us together.
To be progressive.
To be progressive. That's what I desire. However, man, we got to get a handle on the violence that we're seeing, the innocent lives being cut down. Folks, if you have somebody in your family that's dealing with mental illness, if you have guns, you need to lock your guns up. I mean, you need to help them get treatment. If you know of someone that's a ticking time bomb, that's saying crazy things, you need to call law enforcement. We need some intervention in our society. We need to go back to being our brother's keepers, because I'm telling you, it's law enforcement can't do it. They're being targeted. He was targeted. I don't care what anybody say.
Yeah.
He was targeted. He had a uniform on. That man targeted him. Whatever his motivation was, nobody will ever know what's going on in that man's mind. But the reality, DT, it's going to take us, the citizenry, to start saying, you know what, man, that stuff you saying is crazy. His name Michael Owens. He's off. Yeah, he needs an evaluation, because this dude is talking crazy. You know, we're gonna need.
I mean, but it's that type of intervention. Accountability you're talking about. You know, that we need to hold each other accountable for each other, to be able to recognize and understand if there is something that we don't see as quote unquote normal, and I use that very loosely, because you know,
who's normal?
But we need to be able to pick up on some of the signs and symptoms of mental illness and be able to take them seriously enough to help our people get help, because it's really a tough thing to, you know, take that first step to admit that, you know, there's something going on. We've all been taught kind of to just be self-sufficient, to take care of yourself, to, you know, handle it on your own. But that is not the truth, man. You need people around you to help you stay stabilized, because our minds are constantly getting information. They're constantly having to deal with these different things. And you don't know all the time what's the right thing to do, or what thing may be bringing you through a certain situation. So to have somebody out there that has your back, that has a sense of understanding, that can help you get to the next level, to the next phase, seek the help, because we need each other so much right now.
Oh man, we have to come together as a country, you know, as citizens all across the spectrum. We have to break down the walls of division. And I just want to, we had a few minutes left. I just want to make sure that we put to rest this idea of this being connected to the Black Lives Matter movement. The Black Lives Matter movement is about talking about issues. It's not to devalue anyone's life. Of course, everybody's life matters. This movement is about specifically having a national dialogue about issues that have been plaguing the Black community, not just those created, but those that have been perpetrated on the Black community for generations. It's a conversation. Now, everybody in the Black Lives Matter movement are not part of. I mean, it's these people saying pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. I mean, that's just crazy. It's ridiculous. It's like, and you know what? It's silly to me, but I know people are offended by it, but it's not even threatening. Pigs in a blanket. Man, you know, if you said that as kids, me, man, you probably just pop you for being weak. You know what I mean? It's that sort of thing.
Right?
But let me just say that type of that again, they can say whatever they want to say. But I don't think you can take even that group in Minnesota and make them the voice or the image or the face of the Black Lives Matter movement. It's a decentralized movement, folks. There is no central leader or central government. There is no like no Black Lives Matter hotline or Black Lives Matter headquarters where I can say, yeah, you know, hey, I want to speak to the leader. No, there is no Black Lives. You know, he sits there. I'm the Black Lives Matter president. Leader. President. Yes, I'm the vice president of the. No, they don't exist like that. And that's problematic. The Black Lives Matter movement, in order for it to transition into something that I think can bring about systemic change, it's got to get some organization. And this is a problem, DT. I will say this, you can either agree or disagree with it, but I think young folks have a lot of energy, but they don't have all the experience. Mm-hmm. And I think what has happened with the Black Lives Matter movement, you got a lot of young people involved in it, and you really don't have some more senior folks that can come along and say, okay, let's define this movement. Mm-hmm. Let's organize this movement. Let's push this movement in a direction that gets things done. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm happy for it. I support the Black Lives Matter movement, but it's got to get organized. I don't know how you do that because it is so decentralized. If you look at that video of those people saying that about the police officers, they were mainly young people, man. You know, and I don't want to come down so hard on them because it's so hard to get young people involved. And the fact that they are involved and they're in the political process and they're sharing their voices, I want to applaud them for that. But I think there's wisdom in understanding how am I going to move this forward? Will that conversation help or hurt me? And I think in retrospect, they would say that was not the best thing to say.
I totally agree.
Yeah. I mean, you're a young brother.
I am a young brother, but I know a lot of my strength has been able to come from looking to my elders for the wisdom and for the influence and for the right way, so to speak. Because I know that being young, like you say, you do have a lot of energy that could, you know, be used for a good purpose or vice versa. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But having somebody to say, hey, look, man, do it this way or try it this way or say it that way has been always a humbling experience because we don't know it all, man. I know a lot of us are just so in love with ourselves or the ego or whatever you want to call it, but you don't know it all. You know, you have to be able to look to somebody who has gone through something that is, you know, going through life, that has gone through these different situations that you don't have much experience in, and be able to say, I'm going to listen to you because I know that you've been there before and I know that you have something of value to add to this that could take my energy a little bit further than if I would have just left it up to myself to do it alone.
Well said. Well said, my friend. September 23rd, 1 p.m., 405-300-8344. That's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. We want Oh, we are. I'm telling you, we want you to call in.
They're excited and, too, man. Yeah. They've been saying they're ready to open the lines.
They're ready to blast us. Well, all I can say is, remember we said informed opinion.
Informed opinions.
And so let the debate begin. Let the debate begin.
So once again, let me just say, first person, I put this out on the last podcast show, first person to email us content, rather that be discussion, choices, just dialogue, things you've thought about the show once you heard it, anything, commentary you want to add, send me an email, dt@onemiconeonevoice.com. We're going to send you something very special.
I'm going to tell you what, I am looking at.
But if you don't utilize it.
I'm looking at it right now, and I'm like, if DT turn around, it's going to be gone. So I'm just telling you that right now. You need to email this man.
It may be a gas card. It may be a ticket to a show somewhere in the city. Who knows what it might be?
I'm telling you.
But if you don't email, that's none of us will ever know. So
don't turn your back, bro.
Also,
Michael Eric Owens at onemiconeonevoice.com.
And our website is up. It's fully functioning, onemiconeonevoice.com. We've loved hearing all of the positive reviews. We've loved hearing some of the negative things people had to say. But we are here, man. We are here to spread this message. And
we love it all.
Yeah.
We love the good all, and the bad. We love all your communication. Because as always, history will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, a scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time. And what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many, we became one? Or will she find that we saw nothing and remain a divided people? Yes, history will speak of us.